always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ready for our little forest
ABC
adventure?
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The price of gas could go up from here after today. Saudi Arabia said it would cut production. This after two previous cuts by OPEC Plus failed to push prices higher. Leaders of the cartel are meeting in Vienna. A Chinese warship nearly colliding with a U.S. destroyer in the Taiwan Strait. The two vessels reportedly coming within 450 feet of each other, each side calling out the other as being at fault. Ukrainian leaders say they're preparing for a counteroffensive against Russian forces aimed at reclaiming Russian-held territory in Ukraine. House Intelligence Committee Chair Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio telling ABC's This Week Today he's optimistic about the counteroffensive.
The upcoming offensive, they're ready for, they're trained for, they're equipped for, and Russia is not.
But Ukraine's President Zelensky acknowledging Russian air superiority and that a large number of his soldiers will die because of it. A federal judge is ruling striking down an attempt by Tennessee to severely limit drag shows. This is ABC News. Nearly the entire field of 2024 Republican presidential hopefuls descending on Iowa Saturday to attend Senator Joni Ernst's annual Roast and Ride at the state fairgrounds in Des Moines. Not in attendance, former President Trump, who's polling in front of the pack. 18-year-old Natalie Holloway, last seen in Aruba in 2005 with Joren Vandersloot, who remains the prime suspect in Holloway's disappearance. Vandersloot currently serving a 28-year prison sentence in Peru for a different crime, the 2010 murder of a college student. But ABC's Jay O'Brien tells us he's now expected to be extradited to the United States.
The Dutch national faces more than a decade-old federal extortion and wire fraud charges tied to Holloway's disappearance. Prosecutors allege Vandersloot promised Holloway's parents he'd divulge the location of her body and give them details about the manner of her death, allegedly asking to be paid $250,000 with $25,000 up front. He's then accused of giving information that was worthless.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Two of Wisconsin's largest cities land in the top 20 in a new ranking of city parks. Mike Moen reports.
The nonprofit Trust for Public Land has issued its annual Park Score rankings. They're based on five metrics, including access, acreage, investment, and amenities. Madison was 13th on the list, with Milwaukee coming in at number 20. The organization also released a report on the power of parks to promote public health. The Trust for Public Lands' Dr. Howard Frumkin says urban parks offer specific benefits.
Lowering the temperature in the neighborhood, which helps people withstand heat waves. Lowering noise levels, noise being a very common urban stressor.
Meanwhile, the top five cities include two from Minnesota, Minneapolis, and St. Paul. Others high up on the list are Washington, D.C., which is number one. Researchers found in many places, park planning and programs cater to underserved groups or those needing improved accessibility. Linda Wang, also with the Trust for Public Land, says innovation and creativity can vary among different park agencies.
We're seeing people with different types of mobility issues. Can we really be thinking about all-inclusive design, for example? Custom programming, custom design is something that we didn't expect to find, and so it's just been a really nice surprise for us to see that.
The report also found that among some large cities, including New York and Chicago, investments in parks have declined, but Wang says there are some positive signs in mid-sized cities.
I think one of the significant challenges is around investments. So that is one of the categories that we track in the Park Score Index.
For park investments, Madison and Milwaukee scored closer to average, but did better in terms of access. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.com.
What's that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
So it's not a revelatory thing to say that, what?
Nothing.
What?
I like that you started with a big word.
Yeah, and I knew how to pronounce it.
I know. Shut your mouth and move on, whatever. I'll destroy you.
That Wisconsinites are divided over politics, but how much are those political divides affecting our relationships and our well-being, and what can we do about it? Those are some of the questions that UW-Madison's Center for Communication and Civic Renewal are trying to answer. And returning to tell us about a survey they did is Michael Wagner, professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, where he directs the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
It's great to be here. Good to see you.
So, remind us what the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal is.
Our center, which it was kind of started thanks to funding from the Knight Foundation, seeks to try to understand why Wisconsin is like this, basically. So, in other words,
why are we the way that we are?
Right. We want to be revelatory and indicative about what it is that got us here. In other words, how does the way that Wisconsinites engage in their information environment, so the news they get, the people they talk to, their behaviors on social media, how do those things interact to affect what people believe to be true, what they want politically, and then what they do in terms of their participation and their voting behaviors? And so we really try to understand those things so we can shed light on the state of the state of democracy in Wisconsin and paths forward to try to make the state a better place to be.
Seems admirable. And important.
Absolutely, and difficult.
And so last fall, you guys did a statewide survey to kind of look at where we're all are with political conflict. And this is not new. I mean, I think there's been a lot of trying to uncover this for a while. But as far as recently, this is as recent as last fall. And so, like, before we get into what you guys found, how do you structure a survey like that? Like, how do you pick the cross sections and the demographics, and then also like opting in versus people who would never take a survey? Like, what does it go like? What goes into trying to get a comprehensive survey like this accomplished?
That's a great question, and it's harder and harder to get people to want to do these surveys, right? Because there's so many of them, and so many of them are political and done by politicians, where the questions are something like, if I told you that your opponent tried to push a child in front of a bus, would you be more likely to vote for them or less likely to vote for them? You know, so we don't do that sort of stuff, right? So what we do is we work with reputable survey firms that score really high on low bias. In other words, which is to say, the surveys they conduct end up performing really well when you compare them to, say, election results and things like that. So we work with firms that do that kind of work, and we say, okay, where are the large metro areas in the state? We want to make sure, of course, we cover those. Where are mid-sized cities? We want to make sure we cover those. What about rural areas? We want to make sure we cover those. And so we kind of divide the state up into a bunch of different little areas, and then we seek to interview as many people from each of those areas as we can, so that we're not just getting people from Milwaukee or just from Madison, but also from rural parts of the state, suburban parts of the state, and everything in between. And so most surveys in the state are about 500 to 800 people, and we surveyed 3,031. So we did that so that we would have way more people in rural and suburban areas than you typically get in a survey. And then to see how Wisconsin compares to the nation, we did a random sample of 2,900 U.S. residents so that we could compare Wisconsin to the rest of the country. And so we did a survey right before the 2022 elections, and then we contacted as many of those people, both from Wisconsin and nationally, as we could in March, and asked them the same questions again to see how the stability of that looks over time.
All right. Well, then with that, let's talk about what you guys found. And so as far as let's start with the bad so we can end with maybe the good, as far as sure. What were some of the more grim aspects of what you found with the survey?
So one thing that really surprised us, because Wisconsin is such a participatory state, like we're always in the top two or three for voter turnout, and we're always a high participating state generally in terms of other kinds of civic engagement, whether that's politics or church or schools or whatever. We found that a quarter of Wisconsinites say that they avoid participating in politics because they're afraid, of what might happen to them while they're out participating. And that's especially higher among Black Wisconsinites and those who are members of religious minorities. And so there are people who say, like, I'd love to knock on doors, or I'd love to go to a protest, but I'm afraid that I might get shot or hurt or something else. And so they don't do it. And so there's some people who just don't. I think that's probably maybe the grimmest finding of the survey. Another one that I think is a more general measure of how things are in the state is that 60% of Wisconsinites have stopped talking about politics with someone with whom they disagree, right? So they'll still talk about the Packers or the weather or, you know, Memorial Day boating and brat eating, but they won't talk politics anymore. That's double what it was in 2012. And one in six of us have just outright ended a friendship or ended a familial relationship over political disagreement. That's higher for Democrats than Republicans in the state. And so we don't, you know, people end relationships for different kinds of reasons, right? Sometimes it's because they don't want to hear what the other side has to say. And that's not very healthy for a democracy. Other people end relationships because the person they're ending the relationship with makes them feel unsafe or is communicating to them in a way that makes them feel that their identity isn't valid or doesn't deserve the same rights as other folks. And so it's hard to know exactly why people are ending relationships. But if you're in a line at a grocery store and you're sixth in line, one of the people in front of you or you has ended a friendship or family relationship in Wisconsin over political disagreements, which is, I think, pretty striking.
That is striking. And we're talking to Michael Wagner, who is a professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison and also one of the directors at the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal, about a survey they've done across Wisconsin trying to look at our political divides and how it's affecting people's relationships and well-being. And so in the two that you just said, as far as 60% saying that they just won't talk politics anymore, isn't there an argument to be made that that's better than just ending the relationship? Like, if you can choose, because I was trying to think about this as I was reading the results of, like, the people that are, especially people who are more like acquaintances, where we have the similar social groups, where there's just certain people where I know, I see what they post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They see what I post on Facebook. But we're in the same social circle. And when we're together, and honestly, when we're together, I always have lovely conversations with them and we just don't talk politics. And so, like, is that a bad thing?
I don't know that it's, wholly a good thing or wholly a bad thing. I think, you know, generally, if we can maintain relationships with people who are different than us, that's probably more good than bad, right? It helps us see life from their point of view. It helps us find places where we can come together and agree on things. And if there are places where we can get along, it just makes it harder to demonize those other folks, right? So if I don't want to talk politics with you because we disagree about an issue that's really important to me, but our kids can play together or we can sit next to each other at a, you know, neighborhood concert or something, that's good for keeping the civic fabric healthy. But if we absolutely cut folks out, especially just because we don't want to hear what they have to say, that makes it a lot easier to buy into the demonization of the other side. It makes it a lot easier to think that their views aren't legitimately held, that or they're just a bunch of rubes who are being lied to and persuaded by people who have, you know, nefarious intent. Mm-hmm. And some of that sometimes is true, but other times it's just people value different things than other people do. Individuals vary, right? And so we need that kind of variance to both maintain stability and have innovation in any society. But when we completely break down and aren't willing to talk to others, it's more problematic than not.
And how much, I don't know how much this was vetted out in the survey, but even through your own experience, are we just not very, a lot of us just aren't equipped to have difficult conversations, like how to navigate things when we do disagree and to have that be okay instead of it escalating to a fight or have it be such a personal affront to our right. Like core belief system. And like, if we disagree on this, like I can't be friends with you because we have different values, or like, I don't know right. How to like engage in this conversation without having a bunch of emotions rise up. Like, did that come up in any of the surveys?
That's come up in other kinds of data we gather where we do these longer in-depth interviews one-on-one with people. We've done about 300 of these across the state. And there, what we really are learning are that people have really complicated reasons for some of the views that they hold. And other times the views that they hold, you know, maybe aren't so strongly held. And like you ask somebody a question in a survey and you say, well, gosh, I guess I don't want to sound stupid. I'll answer this question. But, you know, if you ask me how much I care about this issue, I'm going to say not much. Right. Mm. And so sometimes, you know, the answers we give in surveys are driven by just what's at the top of our head at the time. And other times they're driven by these deep-seated ideas about what's really important to us. Right. And so one thing that we've learned is like, so say for an issue like abortion in Wisconsin, where about a quarter of Democrats say that was the most important thing to them in the last election. And you ask them, why do you hold the views they have? They can tell you why. And if you ask them about their position about another political issue, they might tell you a position, but they have way less to say about why they hold it, right? So people vary in how deeply dedicated they are to issue positions, and they vary in how the roots of their preferences are planted, right? Sometimes it's like the most important thing to me is individual freedom, or the most mm-hmm. important thing to me is equality. And not all issues are about those things. And so sometimes we hold issues close and sometimes we don't. And so I think it's easy to think we're all polarized about everything all the time, but that's just not the way it is. We tend to hold a few issues tight to our chest, and the rest of them tend to be more transient.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the hopeful things, the good things that you found in the survey, because it was not all grim. And so our guest is Mike Wagner, who is a professor of journalism and mass communications and also a director at the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah, what it's all about.
What it's all about.
Because we're one in the same.
One in the same.
Same joy, same pain. And I hope that you're there when I need you. Because maybe we need amnesia. And I don't want to sound like a preacher, but we need to be one. One world, one love, one passion, one tribe, one understanding. Cause you and me can become one.
Just released from prison, in need of a job, but no one is hiring. Just Dane has been lifting people through these times of employment barriers for 50 years. And you can support this Madison nonprofit's important legacy and work. Join Civic Media by donating to Just Dane. Any amount will make a difference. Learn more and help now at justdane.org. That's justdane.org. Changing lives, changing the community. For 50 years, Just Dane.
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little official-er? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsinly Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler in a glass? Drink Wisconsinly's got you covered then, too, with their Brandy Old Fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsinly beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsinly. Drink Wisconsinly Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
So what did I miss? What did I miss? Virginia, my home sweet home, I wanna give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lots of different ladies. I guess I basically missed the late 80s. I traveled the wide, wide world and came back to this.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And it's that time on a Wednesday, hump day, Greg Bach day, for Greg's weekly roundup of headlines we may have not covered.
All the news you missed. Well, actually, five headlines you may have read but skipped altogether. It's Greg's weekly roundup.
Weekly roundup.
Let's start with a story coming out of Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis announced that he is running for president, and he did it with Elon Musk on Twitter, which answers the question, yes, Twitter can get worse. Let's see here. Soon to be former Twitter CEO, Elon Musk plans to sell red check marks for DeSantis's campaign while still trying to convince the world he's a moderate rather than a real life Bond villain. Now, I'm looking at your face right now and you're thinking to yourself, is he really going to do that? He's not, but you had no idea.
I was going to say, I did not hear about a red check mark.
You should call Elon. He could use some ideas.
So you just made that up entirely?
I just made that up entirely. Mm. Oh, I'm a sneaky fella.
And I believe the announcement is happening tonight.
Oh, tonight? Oh, yeah. Who cares? all right, let's see here. Entertainment news. ABC has rolled out a fall season, which it's calling Strike Proof, in the face of the current WGA strike, soon to possibly be the SAG after strike as well, as their voting closes next week. And it looks like they're going to strike along with the writers. But shows in this quote-unquote strike-proof season include Dancing with the Stars, Dancing with the Camera Operators, and a three-hour program called America's Funniest $100,000 Shark Tank Pyramid of Bachelors. Can't wait to see it.
So Is it all reality TV?
It's all reality TV. All unscripted, all reality. And then they'll have certain blocks of reruns they're going to do as well. Like they specifically said Abbott Elementary, which I feel like was a dig because Quinta Brunson is
a writer first, right?
Oh, queen to me. Yeah, writer, performer, but like is like the darling of network comedy because that show is so smart and so funny. Mm-hmm. It's won so many awards. They're like, yeah, we're going to run Abbott Elementary. I'm sure she's probably like, I hate all of you. Yeah.
Well, and they're like, take that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, look forward to DVR in that one or recording it on my VHS tapes.
Right as Netflix, we'll talk about this later, but like this is happening right as Netflix is going to start charging as of today for that extra user. No more sharing passwords.
Oh, wow.
I got no problem with that. My family might. All right, moving on.
Wait, do you have any updates on Robin Voss for us?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me see here. I'm just going to flip through it. Yep, he sucks. Moving on.
A Massachusetts father and son were sentenced in federal court on Monday for a scheme that saw the pair illegally claim more than $20 million in lottery winnings and then lie on their tax returns to dodge more than $6 million in federal taxes. Mohammed and Ali Jafar now realize they would have gotten away with defrauding the government if their last name was Amazon.
Wait, so retail, so they basically, they won the lottery.
No, they didn't. They pay, so here's what they did was they paid winners for their lottery tickets.
Okay.
And they took the money and then they, so the people, if I'm doing, if I've explained this correctly, they paid, so if you won the lottery, they would contact and be like, hey, I'll give you money for that winning lottery ticket. And in a way to get away from the taxes for yourself and also putting yourself out there, getting your identity known, you sold them their your ticket for a less amount. They then took those lottery tickets and claimed the winnings and then defrauded the taxes on it too. I don't know the full thing. I saw it on CNN.
It was very convoluted.
It's very convoluted, and it seems like it costs at the end of the day way more than what they had won, because they had to get people like at the gas station in on this. They had to get people in the lottery committee. Like, they had to have a network of people. And at one point you're like, the fish has been torn away by the water. It's not even worth it anymore.
I've never heard that metaphor before.
Yeah, this is the old man in the sea. He puts the fish on the side of the boat. By the time he gets to the land, all the other animals have chipped away at the, and he's got a skeleton. Oh. Greg's Roundup in Literature reviews.
All right, what else you got?
Read a book. All right, let's see here. Stephen Marcus is stepping down as board chair at Milwaukee-based hotel and cinema operators Marcus Corp. And will be succeeded by his son, Greg Marcus, who has served more than 30 years in that. Stephen has served more than 30 years in that role. And Greg has been appointed the new director chairman. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm reading this incorrectly. Greg Marcus will be serving as chief operating officer, president, and board chair. And I'm hoping that this new responsibility will mean he no longer has time to make those stupid commercials before movies. Because frankly, I can't tell if he's affable or crazy. But my money is on crazy. So.
What do you think is what's a better, what's a more watchable commercial? AMC and Nicole Kidman or Dave Marcus?
Greg Marcus. I would rather watch Greg Marcus.
Okay.
Because at least with Greg Marcus, I'm like,
oh. There's facial movement.
there's wanting to be connecting to the audience. And I do think he loves movies. I think he seems like a genuinely happy guy. Like, of course, he's a multimillionaire, so who wouldn't be happy then? But you're also, when you look at those CEOs, you're like, what kind of dead-eyed, horrible things do you do when we're not looking that you think is normal? You drink blood, don't you? But yeah, so there's that one. Let's see here. Hey, Summerfest fans, are you clamoring to find out whether or not Jimmy Buffett is going to be playing at the big gig this year? Me either. I really only brought this up to tell you to everyone who's listening that Jimmy Buffett is worth $1 billion.
Is that because of his restaurants?
It's because of the restaurants. And the man has written one song I've heard and the other one about cheeseburger. And he is worth more than Paul McCartney or Dr. Dre. Are you serious?
He's worth more than Dr. Dre?
Dr. Dre is not even, he's not even a billion. No,
he's a billionaire from Beats?
No, he's, I said worth as much as Paul McCartney.
Oh, I said more than.
But even Dr. Dre isn't fully a billionaire yet. He's not that. We're done. Oh, man, I added one more story.
But we have more show left.
Yay!
You can sneak it in later. Yeah. All right, when we come back, Genevieve Redston will be here from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk about what has led to the housing shortage. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Better think of something to say. I'm already gone my way to get to the bottom of this. Jefferson, welcome home.
Mr. Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton.
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home. Mr. Jefferson, welcome home, sir. You've been off it.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The price of gas could go up from here after today. Saudi Arabia said it would cut production. This after two previous cuts by OPEC Plus failed to push prices higher. Leaders of the cartel are meeting in Vienna. A Chinese warship nearly colliding with a U.S. destroyer in the Taiwan Strait. The two vessels reportedly coming within 450 feet of each other, each side calling out the other as being at fault. Ukrainian leaders say they're preparing for a counteroffensive against Russian forces aimed at reclaiming Russian-held territory in Ukraine. House Intelligence Committee Chair Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio telling ABC's This Week Today he's optimistic about the counteroffensive.
The upcoming offensive, they're ready for, they're trained for, they're equipped for, and Russia is not.
But Ukraine's President Zelensky acknowledging Russian air superiority and that a large number of his soldiers will die because of it. A federal judge is ruling striking down an attempt by Tennessee to severely limit drag shows. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Water is one of nature's most beautiful and life-sustaining resources. Through no fault of their own, many Wisconsin utility customers are facing a shutoff to their water service. This leaves them without the one life-giving resource we all take for granted. And those hardest hit? Families on fixed incomes, the elderly, and our veterans. If you or someone you care about needs a hand up, your local Wisconsin Energy and emergency service providers are working together to keep you safely in your home and your water, heat, and power on. If you are in danger of losing your water service, call 1-833-426-9472. That's 833-H2O-WISC. Or visit us online at wisconsinwater.help. You may not ask for it, but we're here to help.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we are welcoming back to the show State Senator Kale DeRoys. How are you doing?
I'm so glad to be with you and not in the Joint Finance Committee for a change.
Well, it was funny because Representative Evan Gwenke was here yesterday, and I made a joke with him as far as how long he's served and the fact that he still has as much hair as he has. Have you started going gray yet because of the Joint Finance Committee?
Well, I feel like I started going gray during Act 10.
Fair.
And then having three kids, and now there's like nothing left. I'm just like a shell of a person.
Well, on that note, I guess, how's it been going since we last spoke to you as far as I think The last time you were on, the public hearings had completed and the conversations were starting as far as what was going to be in the legislature's budget, aka the GOP budget. And we've seen 500 different things that were in Governor Evers' budget not make it. We saw paid leave is not even going to be studied.
What are
some highlights right now as far as some things that still could be in there that should be celebrated, or at least we should look forward to?
Well, the legislature, the good thing is the Finance Committee has really not debated a lot of the big contentious areas, areas that I think are really, really critically important for Wisconsin. So I'm thinking about like public K-12 funding, right? We have not done the Department of Public Instruction yet. We have not done K-12 funding. We haven't done the University of Wisconsin yet. We haven't done childcare counts, which is the critically important childcare funding that will hopefully keep open our childcare industry. So these are all things that the Republicans could decide to put money into. Remember, we have an almost $7 billion surplus, and the Republicans really haven't spent any of it yet. In fact, they've been cutting position authority from a lot of state agencies. Last week, they basically gave a green light to tax cheats by not appropriately funding the Department of Revenue to go after out-of-state corporations and wealthy people that don't pay their fair share into Wisconsin, even in many cases, people who agree that they owe this. So there have been just a lot of like missed opportunities where they have not provided funding or even provided an effective cut in funding, like for the Wisconsin Technical College system, which to me just seems crazy in a time when you have a workforce shortage and we are trying like the Dickens to keep young people in state. We should not be cutting our higher educational institutions that help workers upskill and help young people have a pathway into family supporting careers.
When did we develop so much affection for tax cheats?
I know.
It just blows my mind.
I mean, don't we want the FIBs paying their fair share? Like, this is Wisconsin.
We're certainly paying them enough money in taxes Bears when it comes fans. To buying weed
Vikings
there.
Fans. Patriots fans, get their money. Otherwise, we're the ones shouldering the burden. It's unfortunate to see because, again, this is not a time when we have to be worried about cutting and pinching every penny. And all of those agents, had we hired those professional staff, it would have made hundreds of millions of dollars for the state. At virtually no cost to state taxpayers, this would be money coming in from out of state. But unfortunately, I do not have all of the votes on joint finance. That's why Glicky and I don't make all the decisions.
In the past, the Republicans have given surplus money back out to the people in ways of like child tax credits and housing tax credits and whatnot, which just kind of, it's like, oh, cool, I got $13 back. Thank you very much. Are they
too bad about not funding my schools? But sure.
Yeah, exactly. But here's your $13. Enjoy. Do you hear any rumblings of any sort of giveaway, like rebate thing from their end, saying we got to give back to the people directly, and it'll be through this way, whatever that way might be?
We haven't heard anything about a direct like rebate. But, you know, Republicans, they get kind of fixated on these crazy, reckless ideas, like bumper sticker economics, trickle down economics. That was something that just never worked. It's been thoroughly disproven. Mm-hmm. And we've got right now some legislators pushing this wacko idea of a flat tax, which, of course, is just functionally a massive giveaway to the wealthiest people and the biggest corporations to essentially not pay their fair share. So, I mean, what concerns me is the idea that they're going to basically take this once in a lifetime surplus, and instead of investing it back into the public institutions that all of us rely on and need, and that have frankly been underfunded for decades, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals. And, and then that's going to mean a huge hole in the budget for every biennium that follows.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh, I know some of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I was just watching a video.
I do too. Yeah. Some of them are very nice.
I was just watching a video on the national level where a senator or a congressman was just basically holding this person's feet to the fire saying, the Trump tax credits did not work, right? They did not work. And they kept on trying to wiggle their way through, like, this does not work. And they finally go, you're right. Because well, they had no choice. And in those tax cuts, that trickle down economics in their lay.
Because even in Wisconsin, I did a story on this a couple years ago now, but it's still in place, is the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, which is a huge windfall for some of our richest people in Wisconsin. And there is no job requirement tied to, like, the argument for it is these are the people who are creating jobs, but there is no requirement in order to receive that tax credit to have created a single job.
Well, exactly. You see, Christy, you don't understand freedom. You see, freedom is getting that free money while having the freedom not to do anything. You're free from doing something while having the freedom to get free money. That's freedom, Christy.
And we have the freedom to pay their fair share for them.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And so I had a whole diatribe on this last week as far as how I don't like being jealous of Minnesota. Like, it's not a good feeling of being jealous of Minnesota. But at least last week, as they signed a, you know, revolutionary budget, I was a little jealous last week. And so how do you think there's any silver lining there as far as to our neighbors to the west? We can see what this kind of investment is going to do for the state and have that much more evidence to be like, see, we could be doing that. Look at what it's done for population, or look at what it's done for working age population, for families. Is that at least one positive out of the discrepancy between our two states?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have enough evidence to see that Minnesota's approach worked far more effectively than Wisconsin's over the last decade. And part of the reason that they had so much more money as a surplus in their budget.
$10 million, $10 billion more, right?
Yeah, they didn't reject billions in federal funds. And so when things like the ARPA money during COVID was distributed, and, you know, for Medicaid, they've already expanded Medicaid, right? And so they're actually getting more money for a lower investment from their taxpayers. And so the advantage that they've built up over the last 10 years is only going to be magnified because now they're making amazing investments in Minnesotans. And, you know, it's tough because my stepdaughters both went to college in Minnesota. They loved it. And it's like, I don't know if we're ever going to get them to come back to Wisconsin. One's off to Seattle and the other one's very happy in Minnesota. And it's hard to blame them. When, you know, that state is really moving forward and Republicans wonder, like, why aren't young people voting for us? Why don't they support us? Well, it's because your policies are terrible for young people. You're spending all your time banning abortion and attacking birth control. And you're saying that, you know, gay teens and Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, are the problem.
So, Senator, you just mentioned before that, just mentioned now that you have the evidence to show that the policies aren't working in our favor and working in their. When did you ever expect, this is a really quick question, when did you ever expect the GOP to look at evidence? I'm just asking.
I haven't really ever expected that, okay, cool. But
I
do think, I mean, you know, the Republican Party has just moved so far right. And I think there's a disconnect between actual people who vote Republican, who I think do value higher education. They would be thrilled if their kids went to a UW school, who want their public education to be well-funded. They want clean drinking water. And then the Republican politicians who come into this building and then just go absolutely crazy to the furthest extreme of their party. And they're like, yes, ban all abortions and birth control's next. You know, that's the disconnect that gerrymandering creates, right? Mm-hmm. It takes the, you know, everyday Wisconsinite out of the picture.
And that's the thing, like, because I know that there's conversations as far as if we actually were to get fair maps, there's no guarantee that Democrats would get the majority in the state legislature, right? But it, like, you know, for me, it comes down to having people. What?
In a purple state. And nor should we have a stranglehold on power in a purple state.
Absolutely. No, but I think the thing for me is you at least in having more fair districts, you have people who are more in touch. So even if you are a Republican, being more responsive, understand that being so isolated into your Republican conservative stronghold of this is how everybody thinks because this is the echo chamber I live in, mm-hmm. is right. This is what's creating just such a disconnect from very popular policies versus mm-hmm. who holds the majority. And it's not even just the party. It's the type of conservative that people in that party who are elected are right now. And so as far as things, at least it's not all doomsday. Like, what would you say some other kind of like, what's keeping you positive right now, Senator?
Well, you know, I think in the long run, Wisconsin does have a huge surplus, which is great. We have wonderful institutions that we could choose to fund. The governor has a mighty veto pen, and he could certainly choose to veto parts of the budget or all the budget if they don't make the investments that are necessary in K-12, in University of Wisconsin, in the things that are going to help help Wisconsin basically thrive. So.
Well, we have someone who wants to say hi to you on the phone right now.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Megs.
Hey, Kelda, it's Maggie Dawn. How are you?
Hi, Maggie. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of the great University of Wisconsin system, you and I were indeed beneficiaries of that as we were able to go to Wisconsin Law School at an incredibly affordable price. Cheaper than almost any tier one public law school in the country. And that is part of what conservatives have been slowly whittling away. And that is the ability for middle-class people to access the most wonderfully engaged and forward-thinking, research-based institutional learning at a college and university and postgraduate level. And of course, I had to say thank you, Kelda, for everything that you're doing for Wisconsin. And hello, dear friend.
Hello. It's so wonderful to hear your voice.
What that a is small the best, world.
That's the best thing that's happened all week.
Well, you know, Maggie's going to have a show. Her show's coming back on Civic Media, so you'll have opportunity to probably go on her shows as of next week.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yes, I will be in touch. We will have some fun on the radio.
Perfect.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you, Kristen, for letting me take a couple minutes of your time. Kelda, you be well. I'll be in touch.
You too, Maggie.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Maggie. All right. Well, per usual, Senator Royce, this is so much fun to have you on, even though it's, you know, there's frustrations, there's gray hairs. But as Maggie just said, fighting the good fight and not backing down and making your voice heard as far as what so many people want, even though we're not getting it, but
we
march on. So
that's
right. We'll see you next time. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. All right. We're gonna take a short break. We'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Peace in the valley, now we all can be free. About to rise any minute now. You know, it's been a long, long overdue. Look out, cause it's coming right on.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area, of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hundreds people have gathered in Gloucestershire, England. Did I pronounce it right?
Gloucestershire.
Yeah, now I got
That's
it.
That's better.
To fling themselves down a notoriously steep hill in pursuit of a hefty chunk of golden yellow cheese.
As one does.
Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
Had you heard about this before?
No, never.
How do you know how to pronounce it? Because your husband?
Because I'm married to an Englishman.
Paul knew. So it's the annual cheese roll. And it's a race dating back centuries. And it often results in broken bones.
Oh, yeah.
And concussions. We'll put the video of this in the show notes.
You gotta watch the video.
It's literally people down a super steep hill running after a wheel of cheese, and they tumble and bounce, and it's 180 meters until the winner is the first person to cross the finish line with their cheese.
With the cheese. I mean, they are literally throwing themselves down this hill.
The way they bounce in their bodies, and then some of them just get back up. I'm like, aren't you hurt? How are you just the adrenaline right now, or you're just ignoring it?
There may be some
drinking
involved.
Yeah.
I have a feeling.
But the woman, I still don't understand how this actually happened. The woman who won the women's division or race was knocked unconscious.
God.
And she didn't realize she had actually won until she came to. So this was Delaney Irving, and she was crowned the winner. But the 19-year-old Canadian apparently did not actually realize she had won the competition until she regained consciousness in a medical tent.
Oh, my God.
And I think she's fine. Like, she's fine. But someone broke, I think some guy broke his foot this year. And it's just, it's a tradition that's like one of the oldest customs to have survived in Britain.
Oh,
and it's basically, the site for the town says the first written evidence of it, it's found in a message to the town crier.
Oh, wow.
In 1826.
Wow.
But it brings people from all over the world to gather, to do it and to watch. I already know you would never do it. I don't think I would do it either. Would you go watch it?
It might be something to watch, but I don't particularly enjoy watching people get hurt.
I don't either.
And once you watch this video, And you get to see the look on some of these people's faces as they're literally tumbling down this. And it looks like it's a very uneven hill.
Oh, yeah.
As well. So it's got divots and stuff in it. It looks really painful.
Because I don't think anyone gets, from the footage I've seen, I don't think anyone gets down the hill without falling.
No, it's that steep.
It's that steep. And you're also running that fast.
And you're racing.
And you're racing. And so, like, in watching the footage, I don't see anyone just make it down the hill.
No.
It's not like Ninja Warrior where you see someone, there's like that one guy who doesn't fall.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen here.
No.
It's everyone's, if you're doing this, you're going to fall at some point, unless you are fine losing and being the last one because you're gingerly sidestepping down the hill.
And then they will mock you, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're like, well, why'd you even come if you're not going to compete, man?
Put your heart and soul into it, dude.
But do we have some of the interviews?
We do. Take a listen.
My name is Shai from Seattle, Washington, USA.
You're not going to tell me you come here especially for the cheese rolling?
I'm afraid so.
Are you mad or what?
Honestly, really underestimated the hill. I'm going to have to drink some liquid courage before I try to attempt it. But I got a strategy, and I've been practicing this, like, break, fall, roll move. I think it's going to save my shoulders, maybe my ACL. I forgot my mouthpiece and my wrist tape, but I think I'll just loosen up with some beers and see what happens.
Why do you want to do it?
Oh, just, I don't know, I love these sort of things, and I don't know, just because it's there, you know what, to quote Mallory, because it's there.
How did you train for this?
I didn't, there was a sneaky training session I went on last night, but I wasn't made aware of it, but I don't think you can train for it, can you really? It's just being an idiot.
You're just an idiot.
You just go for it. And so if you're interested in finding more about this cheese roll, there's a 2020 Netflix documentary called We Are the Champions.
Oh, my God.
Which is on unique, quirky, and bizarre competitions people may not know about. And in that documentary, they dubbed the cheese roll as the world's most dangerous foot race. The race has been described by British media as, quote, crazy, with one outlet describing those running down the hill in the name of cheese as Gouda control.
Oh.
And so I just found this. It seems, seriously, as far as like the cheese aspect of this and doing something dumb like this, I was like, I could see this happening in Wisconsin.
I'm quite shocked, actually, that one of our local ski hills hasn't instituted their own cheese roll.
I also will admit, I don't know if we have hills steep enough for this.
It's a doozy. Again, you need to watch the video to be really, truly appreciative of how nuts these people are. What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so.
Let's see. Prize.
Is it just the cheese?
Cheese and bragging rights? No, there has to be some kind of money involved, right?
I don't know. Well, but again, humans aren't necessarily logical creatures.
No.
So maybe it is
thrill seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese. And the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it. But here's some of the, for that documentary I mentioned. It's a series. So each episode is a different contest. So there's cheese rolling. There's chili eating. Fantasy hairstyling. Yo-yoing.
Oh, yo-yoing is, there are some amazing people.
Dog dancing. And frog jumping. it's the same thing I think about with America's Got Talent. Like, obviously a lot of times the people come on and it's singing or dancing or like talents that you expect. But when it's like swallowing swords, or some of the things, like, how'd you get good at that?
Right.
How'd you get good at that without going to the hospital multiple times?
You decided to try this.
And, like, the commitment to be like, yep, this is, and the peak of it is that I'm going to get on America's Got Talent, or maybe get a job with Cirque du Soleil.
This is what I'm good at.
All right. Well, tomorrow's our last three-hour show. So come back at 11, and then on Monday, come back at 10. But this has been As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, yeah.
Right now, I'm driving to work, but that's not where I'm going. I'm going to more important things. I'm going to visit Papa. I'm going to go out with friends and to an anniversary dinner. And I look out at the big trucks and buses and people walking and think, we're all going somewhere. And we need to work together to share the road and get there safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Paid for by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little official-er? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsinably Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler in a glass? Drink Wisconsinably's got you covered then, too, with their Brandy Old Fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsinably beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsinably. Drink Wisconsinably Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.